At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right, and naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything, from the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, let's go. Play Tessie, episode 259. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts, rate 5 stars, and find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe there as well. Find the Play Tessie episodes all on the Play Tessie playlist. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. You know the drill. And we're on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Guardians, but like we're probably not going to talk a ton of the games or anything on this show because the huge news is obviously during game 2, Roman Anthony took a check swing and felt something in his oblique, and then he took a full swing after that and knew something was up. He grabbed his back, goes into the dugout, goes into the clubhouse. After the game, the Red Sox said they were getting an MRI for him. And Bregman called it a gut punch. Roman said it was definitely worse than his back thing that took 4 or 5 days last time, maybe even less. So you knew it was kind of ominous from then just because the Red Sox downplay injuries like it's their job and they always put off MRIs. Like that's their bread and butter. They always do this. Them committing for the MRI for Roman right away showed that they knew something wasn't right. They expressed some pessimism. We heard that pessimism before the results came in, or before they were released at least. And wouldn't you have it, Cora goes on the afternoon show on WEI, says it's an oblique strain. Roman says later he thinks it's grade 2. It wasn't exactly 100% sure, but I think if he's saying it's probably grade 2, he probably heard that somewhere and it's grade 2. We can get Pat's analysis on what that means. But Cora's timetable on, he said usually 4 to 6 weeks. I know grade 2 can sometimes be a little bit longer, but I mean, we'll get into the nitty gritty of it, but just what losing Roman Anthony means for this team, just with where they were at heading into the game tonight. I don't even know if the Blue Jays won or lost. That game is over. Does anyone know if they won or lost?
Blue Jays were winning 13-9 last I checked. So
wonderful.
Safe, yeah. That they're gonna... And, Yankees
Yankees are up
blow.
By one.
Yeah, may or may not blow this game. We'll see.
Blue Jays won. So the Red Sox right now are 3.5 out of the division. If you do the math on 6 weeks, that puts you right in the start slash middle of the ALCS. So we're gonna get into a lot of what this means, but I mean, we've seen just how awesome this kid is and how much he's changed this team and their trajectory this year since he got called up. And it's a good thing that their playoff odds are this high because I don't want to even know where our heads would be if they were like teetering on the brink of a playoff spot. It's wonderful that that's not the case. But losing a guy like Roman Anthony, it's just your head goes to a lot of places, none of them good. And for the Red Sox to get blown out the way they did tonight didn't really give you an opportunity to forget it. They were down 7 runs right off the bat.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, you want to go first here and kind of explain the grade 1 versus grade 2?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the way that muscle strains are graded, it's based on the extent of tissue damage. The good thing is it's graded. The bad thing is the grades are pretty, they vary in degree, I guess is the best way to put it. So a grade one is, you know, like your typical, like you kind of, you tweak your hamstring, stiffens up on you, locks up, feel a little weak in the hamstring. Couple days go by, you feel a little bit better. By, you know, the next week, you're kind of back to 100%. It's like microscopic tearing, very little actual tissue damage. What sucks about a grade two, and I was telling Gordo, Sammy, and Joe about this at the game, is it's basically everything between that and a full rupture. So it could be like 10% torn. It's still more than a grade one, but it's, I mean, 90% away from that kind of grade three full rupture. The part that sucks is it could be an 80% tear, but because there's 20% still left, it's not a full rupture. So it, grade two is super like murky. There's
spectrum-y. It's like a spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. So I think 4 to 6 weeks is perfectly normal. I would say, depending on the damage, 6 up to 8.
But you think 4 weeks is on the table for a grade two strain?
It depends.
I know.
I hate to say that, but if it's like a you know, lower to mid tier grade two, 4 weeks is doable. Sure. He's young. He really has no injury history. He had the shoulder thing. He had the back spasm like early in the year. So he could bounce back in 4. I mean, it all depends on how bad the actual damage is. But once you factor in ramping up, the other thing too that no one's really mentioned is by the time he's probably good to go, not that I think they would, obviously, but it's kind of an option that's eliminated, is it's not like they can give him 1 or 2 games in AAA as a rehab and come back up. He's going right back in. So he's got to ramp up on his own. You're talking rest, work it, get it to recover. Once it's healthy, ramp up throwing, ramp up swinging, ramp up running. Like, the thing that sucks with an oblique in baseball is every component of the game involves your oblique. Your oblique does everything rotational through your torso. When you run, it's not a big rotation, but you're rotating. When you throw, it's a forceful rotation to throw the ball. When you swing, it's probably the most forceful thing on the oblique in sports. So there's definitely going to be this kind of gradual buildup, just like everything else, kind of like we haven't seen Willier run yet. But to answer your question, I think 4 weeks, sure. Is it on the table? Yes. If I was a betting man, I would say probably that 5 to 8 week window.
Well, the other thing also was Cora, when asked what do you tell a guy like Roman Anthony when you have an injury like this? And his quote was, I told him to envision ALCS first at bat. That's what I told him. Just put that goal in your mind and hopefully it happens. So, like, as much as we want to dream on the 4 weeks marker, and I know that Bregman came back from his injury sooner than they said, but every other time the Red Sox have had an injury, it's always been longer. So I'm not going to sit here. Like, I want to dream on 4 weeks. I do, but I can't, like, I cannot mentally convince myself that that's on the table with that quote. Pat,
how many weeks did Bregman miss? Was it 7?
I think it was 7, and he was supposed to miss 10.
He had that kind of like same 8 week window ish. So I would say, yeah, that's probably where I put Roman, about that 5 to 8 weeks.
So first of all, thank you, Pat. That actually helps a lot. I didn't realize it was kind of a spectrum when it came to grade two. I thought it was more cut and dry. But that makes sense. 4 to 6 weeks, they give a range. They don't give a date. Here's where I'm at. I don't really care too much that they lost the third game against Cleveland. Whatever. They won the series. I'd like for them to win every game. It's not going to happen. 2 out of 3 is fine. I'm not so upset. Hey, maybe the Red Sox won't win the World Series this year. That's never really been my expectation. There's always been an outside chance. The thing that bothers me, or the thing that worries me, I should say, is the fear of Roman doesn't come back and we never get closure on the 2025 Red Sox. And what I mean is, this season has been so much fun watching the games, going to Fenway, covering the team on this podcast, and they've been up and down. It hasn't gone nearly how anyone thought. They're at the point we thought they'd be, but the path they took was bizarre with the Devers situation, and calling up all these prospects has been awesome. Peyton Tolley out of nowhere is contributing now. and to have on the table a situation where your catalyst, your leadoff bat, Roman Anthony, arguably your best player, as we've discussed, arguably not, but arguably the best player, to have a situation where you might not get to see how far this Red Sox team can go with him in the mix, that's what bothers me. And that's what keeps me up on at night. And the worst part is it's nobody's fault. There's nothing you can do. And it's just depressing. So I'm just hoping he comes back in that 4 to 5 week window. Maybe sooner. Who knows? 21-year-old kid, athletic. I know it's unlikely. Crazier things have happened. Guys play through shit in the playoffs that they normally wouldn't. We'll see, though. But that right there is my biggest fear, is the chance of not getting closure on what the 2025 Red Sox could be, regardless of what that is. I just want to know. I want to know the end of the story. And if Roman Anthony's not involved, it feels incomplete.
Yeah, like if it would feel wrong if the Red Sox get, like, if the Red Sox go to the wild card series and get bounced and like it just Roman Anthony doesn't play and it's close games, we would be thinking a lot of what could have been. Right now, the Red Sox playoff odds 97.8%. So, like, for people, oh, they're going to flame out. No, like, this team is still super, super likely to go to the postseason. So, in the sense of Roman's missing the final however many weeks, what, we have about four weeks left in the season. Like, I don't want to say it's not meaningful, because it is. Like, if the Red Sox could play great baseball and win the division and get a top two seed and get a bye through the wild card round, that's never meant more to them than it does right now. Like, you potentially buy yourself a chance to get Roman Anthony back if he can beat that 6 week window, if you can get to the ALDS without having to win 2 out of 3 in a wild card series, that with or without Roman Anthony, a 3-game series is a toss up. Like, the Pirates just came to Fenway Park and beat the Red Sox in a 3-game series. Anything can happen with or without Roman Anthony in a 3-game series. So, unfortunately, as their chances decrease to win the division and get a top two seed, it becomes all that much more important to, if you can do it, do it. I don't want to let my head get there, just because without Roman Anthony, it's such a different team. He, like, you can see, I should have it in front of me right now. I don't. I'm going to get it up. What they did before, they were 32-35 before he got called up. I know that one off the top of my head. 32-35 before he got called up.
They're like 40. It's like,
ready? 46-26. Not counting tonight, because he's not there. 46-26 after he got called up until he went on the injured list. Like, his impact, like, it needs no introduction. It needs no explanation. It needs no backing up. Like, he's one of the best players in baseball already at 21 years old. Like, what he's been able to do has been nothing short of spectacular and borderline unprecedented. And yeah, to have that guy off your team, what it does is it really, like, it makes you think. I mean, just in terms of the regular season, the rest of the regular season, you don't feel great about securing that first round bye. You don't even necessarily feel that great about getting the home field advantage in the wild card. Really, where my head goes is, okay, we need to set this team up. If they're going to be, because they're going to be in the playoffs, chances are they're going to be on the road in the wild card series, maybe even at Yankee Stadium for it. Yankee Stadium, Toronto, like, those would be the likely places they'd be on the road. How can you best set yourself up to go to one of those two locations, take 2 out of 3, and give yourself a chance to get the kid back? That's how my head thinks about this positively. It's by not bringing myself to, oh my God, they're not going to win the division. Oh my God, they're not going to get the home wild card series. It's by thinking, okay, maybe we can get this kid back in the division series or the ALCS, but to do that, you have to get through the wild card series. And how do you best set yourself up to do that?
So another thing too that I thought about when I was driving home from Fenway today is the postseason is so different, and it's been so long that people might not remember or know this, but your rosters are set going into a series. So if he is not good to go for game one, he is not on the roster for the series, which, again, like, what, because by the time this rolls around, it's going to be kind of playing it by ear. If he's good to go, he's good to go. And then there's going to be these weird, like, do you keep him on the roster in case he's good to go game 2, 3, 4? Like, there's going to be some, like, roster gymnastics that have to occur if you get to that point. But Gordo, you're right. Like, that is so far ahead. You need to think, how can we position ourselves right now to have that even be a conversation? That has to be the main focus right now.
right now where I'm at is my mind is just thinking about Arizona. I just need, now that I've mourned, I'm upset. I was upset all day. You guys saw me at Fenway. I was, you know, moping around. Like I'm usually in a great mood when I'm at Fenway. Today I was not like that, understandably, I think. So that's over. That's in the past. I've coped. I need them to take 2 out of 3 in Arizona. I need that badly. If they don't, oh my God, I'm going to be a mess. The series, I need this badly for my sleep cycle, for my mental health, and just for the team. Like, this is a huge series all of a sudden. Every series just got bigger. You don't have Roman Anthony anymore.
Let me challenge you on that, Sammy. Because unless you're getting, I mean, no, I don't even want to check, because right now you're right. It is, because right now, I mean, depending on the outcome of this Yankees series, you're either tied for that top wild card spot, getting the home field at Fenway for the wild card series, or you're behind them and have to go to Yankee Stadium. So it does make a huge difference. But in the end,
I just defeated you in the challenge there. There we go. Look
yeah,
at that.
No, I'm not going to fully challenge you, because I've been preaching the importance of the home wild card series this whole time, and it doesn't change now that Roman Anthony's gone.
It's not even that for me. It's that you need to win a series to show everyone in that clubhouse that you are still the 2025 Red Sox. You're still a good team. You won games before Roman Anthony was there. Yes, you're way better with him. Duh. Breaking news. You're better with Roman Anthony, but it doesn't mean they're incapable. And a team like the Diamondbacks, followed by the A's, those are very beatable teams, whether you're in their house or yours. So I need just for the vibes, man. I think a day ago, 24 hours ago, as we record on Wednesday night, on Tuesday, I was at Fenway. The vibes were incredible. Everyone's in a great mood. Roman tweaked something. He should be fine. Fast forward 24 hours later, vibes down the tube. So I need something. I think everyone is in that boat. You need something to feel good about.
Also, like we're pretty down right now. Like I get it. And justifiably we are, but let's not forget Tristan Casas was lost for the season with what he was supposed to be. Like that was a big deal and a big loss, and they got through it. They traded Rafael Devers. They struggled for a little bit. They got through it. Alex Bregman goes down with a long-term injury. Like remember that 10-game win streak before the All-Star break? Seven of those 10 wins occurred without any of Bregman, Devers, Casas in the lineup or on the field in any capacity for this team. Like, it's frustrating because we know that they're not as good of a team without Roman Anthony. But Sammy, you're right. Like they're playing winnable you're playing winnable games. You know, Arizona, you've got Tolley versus Erod, 5.4 ERA with Erod. Then you got Giolito versus Fott. Fott's got a 5.33 ERA. Giolito's Giolito. Third game, you got Bayo versus Ryan Nelson, who's got a 3.57, probably the best you're going to see in the series. He's actually been pretty good this year, but it's Bayo.
They should be favored in all three. They should be favored in all three of those games. You got to win two of them.
Right. So it really, I mean, it continues to be about winning series, but like in the end, where if they had not, like let's say Roman never got hurt and then they got the second or third wild card spot, what I would have said is I'm happy they made the playoffs, but definitely disappointed that they didn't get home field. And if they lose, I would probably put a lot of that on them missing home field. Now, if that happens, a big part of me is going to say, well, they probably get one of those things if Roman Anthony plays. And like you said, Sammy, like it's going to be this whole what could have been type of season if they get bounced without Roman getting a chance to come back.
It's like what was the year? There was a Patriots year where I think Gronk or Edelman or someone got hurt and the Patriots lost. And all I could think was, oh, if they had that one weapon.
Gronk got hurt and played through it in the Super Bowl against the Giants. He also missed a Super Bowl. Did he miss the Eagles Super Bowl?
He didn't play in the Falcons one. He wasn't in that.
The Falcons one, you're right.
There was just some Patriots thing. 2017, I think it was actually. Joe just put it in the chat. Yeah, 2017, I believe.
Oh, the Celtics too. Celtics without Perkins in the year they lost to the Lakers in the finals.
Oh, that's even better.
Everyone better. They got that on Perk.
They got rebounded to death by a Lakers team that I think a lot of people thought the Celtics were better than. So, yeah, it's years like that. Like, if you lose, like, 2021, when the Red Sox lost to the Astros, I said, wow, that was house money. That was a great season. I'm pissed. That call with Laz Diaz kind of sucked. But, you know, the fact that they got this far, I had a good time that year, and you got your closure. But this, I just need the closure. I think that's this whole time since I saw you guys earlier today, I mentioned this to Gordo. I've been sitting in my apartment thinking, why am I so upset? They're still going to make the playoffs, and I've been saying I'll be happy if the Red Sox make the playoffs. I won't complain. That was my target from spring training until now, and it remains the same. So why am I so upset? And I'm thinking and thinking and thinking, it's the closure thing. I need closure on a season like this when I'm so locked in, watching 162 games, every Red Sox game, and plus a lot of other American League games, to not get closure. I keep coming back to it. Makes me sick. Actually keeps me up at night. I'm not exaggerating. That's not hyperbole. I actually have trouble sleeping because of this shit, because I'm insane.
This is a year two where let's say things keep playing out how they're going to play out. God forbid, but we'll say it happens. Let's say Sox get bounced in the ALDS, right? This is a year where the AL is so wide open that it's always going to be a what if until they win a World Series. Like, what if they had Roman? Do they get to the World Series? What does that look like? And until they win a World Series with this group, it's always going to be like, could 25 have been the year? What if they had Roman? If Roman was healthy, do they get to the World Series? And that, Sammy, I think that irks me the most, because that's not closure. That's the what ifs kill me. And that's a big what if. That's not like, oh, what if like E-Rod doesn't lay a fastball to Yasiel Puig? Like, it's not that.
What if E-Rod doesn't point at his wrist?
yeah, exactly. Like that or stupid
it's not,
stuff.
But it's not like you're missing your setup man. Or yes. you're
missing your best hitter, who's also your leadoff hitter.
Wait, shut up. You said something that I wanted to bring up. Say what you just said again.
You're missing your best hitter, who's your leadoff hitter.
Sounds like the 21 Braves.
I was thinking about that today, Pat. I was like, the Braves did it without Acuna. It did creep into my mind. I mean, it's the truth is the reason that our goal has been from the jump get to the playoffs is because it's so true in baseball, anything can happen when you get there. And any team can make a run. Like the Diamondbacks got to the World Series with 84 wins just a couple of years ago. Like truly anything can happen, and you're going to have Garrett Crochet on the mound for game one against whoever you face. Like let's say it's Sox Yankees. What is it going to be? Garrett Crochet versus Max Fried, and the Sox are going to have their lefty mashers in the lineup. Like, yeah, you feel really good about that. And that doesn't change with Roman Anthony down. It doesn't. And the only thing that would change that is if Garrett Crochet goes down. And I shouldn't even put that into the universe. Like, Crochet obviously has now had kind of back-to-back. The Orioles start was like, the line looked okay, but the last start, obviously seven earned. Like, we haven't seen that from him all year. Maybe having to do with not having the extra day of rest with the off day. I don't know. I'm going to need to see more before I actually get concerned about Garrett Crochet. I'm very, very unbothered with Crochet doesn't. Anything that he was unbothered. Crochet. Yeah, he was unbothered.
We were at Fenway on Wednesday. Crochet was in a good mood, doing interviews, smiling, gave his usual, how we doing? So he's good. He's not panicky. Have you noticed he says that every time? How we doing?
How you doing? Guy. What's up, fellas?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That was what I said when I saw the Roman news.
Fuck.
you see the notification. Alex Gorsuch is out 4 to 6 weeks. Fuck.
Actually, I was on the phone with my sister, and my sister was venting to me about her like dating life. She was like, I met this guy and he's such a, and then I was like, oh, hold on. God damn it. I gotta go. And she was like, what? I'm like, I'll talk to you later. Bye. So I was like, I texted her after. I'm like, sorry, I'll listen to your guy problem stuff later. But like, sorry, I'm in a crisis. You don't understand, Joanna.
Fuck.
But anyway, yeah, it makes me feel good when, you know, Crochet has a bad start, Red Sox still win, we go to the ballpark the next day, and he's not, you know, bad body language. He's his usual self. So I hope that helps other listeners. If you're concerned about Crochet, I don't think Crochet is concerned about Crochet.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, obviously this statement involves Garrett Crochet, but you're going to learn a lot about what version of the Red Sox we have going forward based off of how they play on the road trip. Crochet is only going to start one game on the road trip, right? He's going to get the A's.
Sacramento.
And that's it. Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, that starts obviously going to tell us a lot, because we've certainly never seen Crochet not look like Crochet for three straight. Giolito, Bay are going to go, and we're going to see what the offense looks like.
Totally.
The A's in Sacramento is not easy. That ballpark is tiny, and that lineup that's like the most underrated lineup in baseball, with Kurtz, Rooker, Soderstrom, Bangaliers, Lawrence Butler, Wilson.
Bangaliers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually like a legit scary lineup. Defense is terrible. Pitching is terrible. So that's not how they win. They win with offense.
I'm actually trying to figure out how many lefties the Red Sox are facing coming up. I know they got E-Rod in the Diamondback series. I'm like trying to look ahead to see if I can figure out who's pitching for the A's. Pat, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to say, it's actually funny how you would think the opposite. But I am so happy that Tolley lined up against Arizona and not Sacramento.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Just because you think
I just think park factor. The Athletics are a team that are wildly slept on offensively. Like, I think they'll get you. Arizona is playing not great baseball. No Naylor, no Suarez.
They're depressed. Kind of, they all hate Cal kind of Marte, or maybe they don't. I don't know.
Yeah, like it's kind of a skeleton lineup. It's a lot like the Pittsburgh lineup that he just faced. So I think getting another good start, hopefully under his belt, will go a long way. The one thing with him, though, is he's kind of playing stopper on Friday. We met him today. I don't think he's fazed by having to be a stopper on Friday.
I am very excited too. At some point, we met Peyton Tolley today, and we just introduced ourselves, and we're like, oh, at some point, like, we got to get you on the show. He said he'd definitely do it. Very excited for that one. I'm really, really, really excited to interview Peyton.
He said, yell at me and I'll be there. So
fucking yell at him.
Peyton!
Hey!
Hey! Fuck! Fuck!
That should be our first question. Hey, Peyton, if you, like, miss your location, what does your F-bomb sound like?
Give us your fuck.
I'm glad you asked. It's fuck.
No, he's way deeper than that. Come on.
Yeah, no, he had like a young guy kind of.
He also had like kind of a twang to his voice. So like, you got a
fuck.
It doesn't really fuck. Doesn't really have a twang.
Wow, fuck.
Well, shit.
Ah, shucks.
All right, I got the A's guys. You're getting Severino Springs. I don't know who Mason Barnett is.
Anyone that's that you is? Made that up. That's not a person.
It was right. He's a righty, so it's righty, lefty, righty. I don't know who that is. The third guy.
No, so. Lopez, right? Lopez is kind of nasty.
No, yeah, they've had a couple random dudes kind of pitching okay, but no, you're getting Springs. I mean, Springs is good, but he's a lefty. I don't know.
He's a nightmare, dude. He's so frustrating. Jeffrey Springs, read a book, dude.
Yeah, not a fan. Yeah, I don't know. Is that have we gotten all of our? Is there any? Should we talk about? They called up Sogard. Like, they didn't call up Campbell or Password. I was
two best players in the game on Wednesday night, Zach Kelly and Sogard.
Zach Kelly was sick. That was crazy.
Yeah.
That he went Zach, force close. That was crazy.
Statistically, his best game ever.
Definitely. Yeah. Most pitches he's ever thrown in a game, most innings he's ever thrown in a game, didn't allow a run. That was crazy. I mean, that like I like the game was shot. And I know we're not going to talk a ton about the games, but the game was shot, and he single-handedly kept Greg Weissert and Justin Wilson. I was sitting in the outfield today. Greg Weissert and Justin Wilson were stretching around the entire game. Like, they were getting ready to go in, and Zach Kelly going four innings a lot, because Dustin May I don't think was going to go much more than three today. Like, on short rest, I don't think he had a ton of them. But Zach, doing what he did, kept those two out of the game. Give your bullpen kind of a day, your best guys, except for Steven Matz, who for whatever reason was going in the, third inning, second inning?
Second inning, right?
That was weird.
I think that was just because Cora was like, shit, this game is about to get away from us already. I have to use someone good. That's why I think he did it, but it is unusual to see.
Yeah, I don't know. Pat?
This might be a topic change, but it's kind of along the same lines as Zach. This is not me being cocky. This is not me being arrogant. This is not me thinking that I am some super athlete.
I know where you're going.
So beyond confident that if you put me on the mound at Fenway, I outpitch Jordan Hicks.
I knew it. I thought you were going to say you could get a hit off of him.
Useless. Like, he can't mop up. He can't throw strikes. When he throws strikes, he lets up home runs. I, like, honest to God, in like my 20 years of being able to recollect a Red Sox team, cannot think of one person who is more useless to a baseball team.
Oh, I got
minus Blake Sable.
Oh my
Caleb
God.
Caleb Ort.
That's a good one.
Caleb
who was
Ort
mine?
Was, I mean, Bobby Dalbec was the worst player in the world for like 2 years.
Can you guys help me remember the name of this Red Sox pitcher? He pitched for the team in like 2016. He then ended up going to the Angels and maybe the Diamondbacks and being okay. But for the Red Sox, he sucked. And he kind of had long hair. He was Hispanic.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to find it. Weirdly, I think his name starts with an F. I'm going to get it. Red Sox roster 2016.
I know who you're talking about.
Gordon. Pitcher with long
hair.
Oh,
is it Noé Ramirez?
Noé Ramirez.
Yeah.
Noé Ramirez. Oh, useless. No. Hated him. I hated him. 6.23 ERA that year in 13 innings.
It was Caleb Ort. Caleb Ort had to be. I mean, Jordan Hicks has an 8.20 ERA.
So, Caleb Ort. Let's see what he did in his final year with the Red Sox. He had
the
a 6.26.
Ort hog.
He had a 6.26 in 23, and he had a 6.35 in 22. So Ort has, Hicks has actually been worse.
How many?
I think
how
Hicks
many
is
innings
better than Ort though?
How many innings has Hicks?
Hicks should be better. Hicks has an 8.2 ERA in 21 games, spanning 18 and 2/3 innings with the Red Sox.
I mean,
it doesn't get worse.
I really need Caleb Ort.
He gets booed every time he's out there at this point.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not? He's terrible, and his comments have been kind of shitty. Like, what has he done to not get booed?
No, it's true. Yeah.
And maintain, I think he'll be good in 2026. I just don't think he's going to figure it out this year. Like, you got to phantom IL that guy so hard.
Sammy, I'm not walking back, because I've agreed with you the whole way on that, but I'm walking back my he will be good and changing it to he has a chance to be good. Because I can't. I thought, this is a guy who just get him in the lab over the offseason. With his comments, I don't even know if he's going to want to go in the lab in the offseason.
Right. I figured that was implied. Like he could be good. I'm not saying, I'm putting it on
as an arm
record. Like, he will be good. I think he'll be good. But if he wasn't good in 2026, I wouldn't be like, wow, I'm shocked.
You know what's funny? Hicks. We're talking about this, and it's been about 2 months or month and a half maybe since we got Jordan Hicks was well over 2 months. 2 months with Jordan Hicks. We're bitching and moaning about how much he sucks. Can you imagine being a Yankee fan and having them keep trotting out Devin Williams in these high leverage situations?
Well, you know, he did have a nice little run in him.
In low leverage spots. They put him in today, tie game. He has loaded the bases on 26 pitches with one out.
Oh,
16 strikes.
I hope you didn't just jinx that, Pat.
He just got a strike in as I said that.
Oh my God, you bum, Pat. You jinxed it.
I'm just saying.
Red Sox killer in multiple ways. Do we want to, before we go to Nuff Said, go over, like they went with Sogard. I was a little bit surprised just because they needed a starting outfielder, or you would think until Abreu got back, like it would be kind of an opportunity to give Campbell or maybe even the password some runway with a starting left field job. And I guess, I mean, as I'm saying it, is it because they needed, but then again, Sogard doesn't allow you to have someone play right field. So I don't know.
I would have going to be playing a lot.
Yeah, I bet he is too. But
password would have made more sense.
Yeah. Because password could definitely play right field at Fenway. Campbell, I don't know if I'd trust him to do it, but you could reasonably put Jaron in right and hope for the best. Which they may do at some points anyway.
I mean, I've been on the train of thinking, I don't think Duran's a great defender. Even last year when he had good metrics, I thought it looked clunky. And this year the metrics are down. Tonight he had an error. He had a nice catch, but he also had an error. So it's a little confusing. Sogard is a bit of a Swiss Army knife, but you could say the same thing about Nate Eaton. And now they're both up. So I would have gone password. Just because he fits what you need better, but then at the same time, that's super redundant with Rob Refsnyder. So it's kind of a strange spot. Strange spot. And then, you kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Not to mention, they're also actively carrying three catchers too.
Yeah.
That's true too. And like, yes, it allows you to pinch hit the Narv. Yeah, I see it, Patty. Walked him in. You're off the hook.
I didn't jinx it. You're off the hook. We're good.
But Devin Williams walked in a run?
He did, yeah. He walked Taylor Trammell.
Video game player.
Yeah.
Loves video games.
But
The number nine hitter.
To me, this would have been a good opportunity to give Campbell some run. He's played well. I know his hard hit metrics are not where you'd want them to be, but he has played well. And the day before, they had a game today. I don't know what he did today. But yesterday, as we're recording, really hard hit home run, really hard hit triple, had a double, like just a single away from the cycle. It might have been a good chance to give him some run. And to me, the fact that they didn't do it kind of shows that they're a little bit afraid that if we call him up, we might break him. Like, they're being really, really, really careful. There have been a lot of chances to go back to him where they could have done it and they haven't. And at this point, I think it's telling. And maybe you can maybe even say the same thing about Password, that maybe they didn't love the at-bats when he was up here, and it's okay, maybe he's just not ready. Like, let's go with the safe option with Sogard, someone who we know is ready, we won't break. Maybe that's the thought process.
So who plays? Oh, here's another thing. I don't know about Arizona, but the A's have a very, very small outfield. So maybe the Red Sox are thinking we could play Duran in right field in that series. Just got to get through the Diamondbacks series with like Ref Snyder playing three games. I don't know, man. It is weird. The more you think about this roster construction without your two left-handed hitting outfield. We haven't even mentioned Yoshida, by the way.
No, he's not. Really don't even think about it.
No. Not even. But even. It is weird.
Yoshida in the Fenway right. Let's do that.
It's, oh my God. I may never recover from that if I had to see that. But yeah, you had so many left-handed hitting outfielders, and now you only have one and a half, Duran and Yoshida.
The Woo Sox play their last AAA game on September 21st. I don't know. They do have playoffs, but I don't know what the Woo Sox record is. I don't know if they're going to be in it, but I don't know. That'll be the next touch point of what are they doing with Christian Campbell. Is does he join the team when there's no more games to be played left in AAA? What?
Did you know that Flo Rida is performing after the Red Sox game on Friday night?
Wait, Sammy and I are going to be in Arizona. Did we say that yet on this show?
No.
We're going to be in Arizona, so we'll catch some Flo Rida after the game.
What the fuck? Cotillo just tweeted that.
That's so awesome. That's so random.
Hold on.
That's so awesome.
Flo Rida. Oh my God, it's true. Free post-game concert presented by Coors Light Bird's Nest. All fans with tickets. Dude.
I don't know if they have Twin Peaks in Arizona, but we'll probably have to be a Flo Rida. Yeah.
We're going to have apple bottom jeans. Boots with the fur. The fur.
Thanks for telling the two guys that aren't going to Arizona about that. We definitely won't be jealous on that.
Don't worry, Joe. Oh. We're going to be sweating our asses off. But it's a dry heat, so it's fine.
Oh, I hate when people say that.
I do too.
It's 110 degrees. Oh, it's a dry heat. Don't worry about it. Fuck you.
I've never been to Arizona, but I've shown people the weather. Dry heat. It's 110 degrees in Arizona right now. It's dry heat. That's what I always get. But people just say that. No one. I don't think anyone actually knows what that means.
It's not as bad as humidity, but it's still bad.
It's going to be like it's 95. Like, okay, thanks.
Still hot. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, we're going to Arizona. So if you're in Arizona, come say hi. For whatever reason.
Come say hi in Arizona. Anyone got enough said?
Yeah.
Sammy?
I am so sick of hearing about Rafael Devers. There was so much Rafael Devers talk on the broadcast tonight on Wednesday. Oh my God. And this was the last day I wanted to hear about him, when the Red Sox just lost Roman Anthony and they're getting smoked in this game and Jordan Hicks fucking sucks and Kyle Harrison's now hurt and friggin' James Tibbs is no longer even in the organization. We're talking about, oh, Rafael Devers. Don't worry, Red Sox fans. He's heating up for the Giants. I don't care. I'm sick of it. You touch on it. Mention it. it was so much. And then it's not just Nesson, it's everywhere. People talking about Devers on social media. I hear it on the radio, TV. Like, I'm sick of hearing about him on you know, nationally, fine. But no, not tonight, Joe. You guys didn't talk about him tonight. I saw that. Not tonight.
Joe's concerned face to the smile. That was good with the mustache.
No, no.
Good.
I'm saying in general.
Look like a predator being like doing that change.
Joe's no, like, you better much fucking talk.
No, this week, no. Sorry. Tonight was about haboobs between Will Fleming and Sean McDonough.
Boobs? It was about what?
Haboobs.
What's that?
It's apparently a weather event that happens in
what is
Arizona.
Funny about boobs, Joe?
No, nothing. Nothing's funny about it.
Family show?
I know. We are a family-oriented program. But no, those are like... the way McDonough described it was that it's a like a weather event where it's just like so windy and there's dust flying everywhere. So like it's a legit term.
Yeah, Gordo, I sent you a picture of that giant dust storm. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, he did send me a big dust storm. He did.
Imagine seeing that sucker roll. Imagine seeing that sucker roll to town. Fuck.
Look at those haboobs. big haboobs.
Haboobs. All right, Pat, do you have next? Enough said?
I do indeed. Football's back on drop day. Football's back, baby. I'm excited. Gives me something else to do. I'm not, believe me, it's always baseball first. Even when the Sox are in the playoffs, I always watch playoff baseball or any football game. But, like, dude, just sitting on a couch and rotting on a Sunday watching football, dude, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I am thrilled that it's back. I can't wait for the Patriots to be better than they were last year. And also, ooh, the Astros are up 7-4.
Hell yeah, Pat. Let's go. Can we do a PT, like, Pats in Red Zone day? I've got the multi-TVs in the basement. We could just
absolutely
fucking rot in here. It'll be good. We got to do that this year. Sometime after the season when we're ready to rot. What are you laughing at, Sammy?
Just come over to my place. We could just fucking rot.
Yeah. Make some nachos and drink some beers and just rot.
Oh, no pizza, though.
Oh, I'll make you guys the pizza.
No.
I'll make you guys the shrimp pizza.
No.
I'll make two full pies, and we could each eat half a pie. Shrimp pizza.
Simon says no.
Yes. He says yes.
Gordo, what is your enough said?
Okay. You want my enough said?
Yeah.
I thought it was weird. The Kyle Harrison stuff was a little bit weird. What did you want my enough said to be, Pat?
Your hat, dude.
Oh, yes. I have an awesome new baseballs and boring hat, which these guys are going to get their hands on. And if you want one, Venmo Brad or DM Bradfo. And I think it literally is just if you Venmo him, he'll send it to you. So he got 30 of these. So the supply won't last. I think at some point they might come back up for sale once he's got his website in order, but I don't know when that's going to be. So DM him and he'll probably just take a Venmo and he'll ship it to you. But yeah, my other enough said, I'll have three enough said today. Speaking of football, if you know of a good streaming site with Streamies down and like Buff Streams, Meth Streams, like none of these things, none of the stream sites that I've used, and I haven't needed to use one in a while, they're all seemingly shut down. So if you've got a good one, please DM me, tell me, because Sammy and I are going to need it for Sunday in Arizona. There's no way they're airing that game. We're going to need it. I'm going to need to put it on my phone. I think he said to me either last show or right after the last show that we're gonna need to figure out the Pats. And I told him I got him covered. And then Streamies got shut down. So hit me up. But my full enough said is that the Kyle Harrison thing was a little bit weird because Kyle Harrison's in Worcester talking about how, yeah, like my ankle was the reason that I couldn't start. And, you know, I wish I could have all that. And then Cora says, when asked about Kyle Harrison coming to Boston for an MRI, he said, oh, I don't know about that. So I thought that was weird. I've heard that he did get an MRI and he's fine, but he's going to take like 4 to 5 days and they're going to see from there. I don't really know what's going to come of it from there, but I thought it was weird that Cora didn't admit to the fact that he got an MRI. I don't know. I thought that was a little bit weird. Just something I thought of.
More weird messaging from the Red Sox, which feels like a 2023, 2024 kind of thing. But
it's just like strange. He's like defending Jordan Hicks and Masa Yoshida to the end of the earth. And maybe the focus should be on Hicks because Yoshida actually had a pretty good game in game two, didn't play in game three. But with Hicks, every time he sucks, it's like, oh, his stuff is there. It's like Boone with Volpe. But then with an obvious opportunity to defend Kyle Harrison, kind of didn't. So I don't know. I don't know what that was about. Something I thought of. I don't know. We'll see what comes of it, if anything. Remember, Brian Abraham told us on the radio last week that Kyle Harrison will impact this team down the stretch. So we will see what comes of that. Joe, I know you got enough said before we get out of here. What do you got?
Yeah. We talked about this while we were on the field, but considering what happened with Framber Valdez a couple of nights ago, that is a win for Team No Framber. That's me and Pat.
I'm not on Framber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign him after that.
Yeah. Well, no. You guys said that, like, we were out on him first, me and Pat, I should say. And that was including the stuff in him also being a dick.
Well, Joe, you know what this? No.
You can't do that.
No. This is like a broken clock being right twice a day. Like, we're out on Framber now too, but it's not because of the reasons you guys stated. That, like, this is completely different.
Framber had one bad start against the Sox, and Joe was in the group chat like, this guy is fucking terrible.
Get his ass. But no, I mean, that's a legit, as a fan of the Red Sox, if you're looking at a free agent pitcher, that's a pretty significant turnoff. Like, you're willing to drill your catcher too. It's not like just some teammate. Like, you're the pitcher. That's the catcher who you're a battery, and you're intentionally trying to hurt him with a 93 mile an hour fastball to the chest.
No,
like, that's shit, man.
That is a legitimate deal breaker act right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He lost himself legit money with that singular pitch.
It's like when teams soured on E-Rod because he wouldn't approve a trade from the Tigers, who sucked, to the Dodgers, who I don't think they won the World Series that year. But still, like, the fact that he wouldn't approve the trade to that, and teams were like, does this guy not give a shit about winning? And then it definitely hurt him in free agency. So this will hurt Framber. Framber has lost himself some money on this. And he will deny, but...
Well, me and Pat are going to go Modern Age Reporter and take a victory lap because we were on it first.
Fair enough. You can take this win.
Give me my credit.
Just ahead of the curve, man.
All right. Should we wrap it on that? Please, prayer circle. Every night, just pray that Roman Anthony gets back and plays for this team again this year. Please. Please, 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 please. We need him back. But thank you guys for tuning in. Episode 259 of Playtesting. Remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all our videos you can find in the Playtesting playlist folder. Find us on the socials at Playtesting on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo. For Playtesting, episode 259. Thanks for tuning in. Praise be Roman Anthony. Peace.